This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Wednesday to you. Not only just a Wednesday, it's not just a Wednesday. It is a Wednesday in which we celebrate the return of Ron Culver from his vacation.
Yay me.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice little long vacation in the mountains of Colorado, but he's back on the show this morning. You know, the last couple of days, we've been talking about Carson Wentz and the impact of his big foot injury. And what will it mean with the tough schedule that the Colts have at the beginning of the season and whether or not he's going to be able to come back in a 5-week period, which would put him at the season opener, or a 12-week period, which would probably have him around Halloween or early November. But it just got worse for the Colts because left guard Quentin Nelson is one of the best offensive linemen in football. Happens to be out 5 to 12 weeks, also with a foot injury. So, like Carson Wentz, he is a very integral part of the success of the Indianapolis Colts. It just keeps on coming. We'll also talk about Carmelo Anthony because he's got a new home. He'll be joining LeBron and the Lakers, but he'll also be joining Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook, and Dwight Howard is back on the team, and Trevor Ariza is back on the team. But they've got one signing that actually could be really, really good for them that may be a little bit under the radar, and I'll tell you who that is coming up on the show later as well. And if you need a quarterback this season, and your team probably will at some point need a quarterback, and they may have to go to their backups, or they may be looking across the landscape of this country to find somebody that could be a good signal caller for them, maybe if you're the Colts, for example. But there's one player who's keeping himself in good shape, and he might just be waiting for your phone call if you're a certain NFL GM, and we'll tell you who he is coming up on the show. But it is also the day Ron Culver comes back, so we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. And then Lee Ellis in hour number two is going to join us to sort of figure out all of this free agency. Guys that are staying, like Trae Young, make Atlanta a wonderful destination for future free agents. And also, Steph Curry just got richer. There's no other way to put it. We'll talk about the impact of the Lakers and all of the additions that they have been making to sort of get the team in the right place for LeBron to make another run at a championship. So that is all coming up. But coming up next, we got some news and notes around training camp. Three stories that are making their way around the NFL, including the Quentin Nelson injury and how that impacts the Colts as we continue on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, back from a nice long vacation. Are you well rested?
I am. I was a little nervous about this morning, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because you've had a chunk of change off.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The weather was great for the second half. First half, I didn't realize it can get that hot in the mountains.
I know, it really can. It's
did not amazing, pack accordingly.
Yeah, because you don't know when you go to Colorado. You may need a jacket some days, and you may need like a tank top and bathing suit.
That's pretty much what it was. The first half of the trip was just needing basically almost wearing nothing because you're just sweating through everything.
I remember my first year I lived in Colorado, my wife and I drove up to Winter Park, and as we were driving through the mountains, it was actual snow in July on one of them, and we went up, and my wife, we pulled over just so my wife could go, this is snow! And I was like, it's July, I know, it's quiet. We're going to see a ton of that in a couple more months, but you can see it now in the summer. But there are days where you go up to the mountains and it's 95 degrees.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. Even when we did a gondola ride up to the top, the very top of Vail Mountain. And it was still hot up there. I'm like, come on. Yeah. Where's the cold weather that was promised?
That's right.
When do I get to put on my sweatshirt that I brought?
Well, I'm glad you had a good vacation. Colorado is fantastic. I miss it all the time. It's one of my favorite places. I've lived a lot of places. It's my favorite place.
Yeah,
I like Nashville a lot. It's great, but I really miss Colorado.
It was just absolutely gorgeous. I mean, just the simple little things. My favorite thing, I think, out of everything that was there when we were up there, and it would rain. It would rain pretty hard. And then as soon as the rain stopped, first of all, you know, because I live in Houston, there's no humidity after the rain, which is brilliant, by the way. Every state needs to have that. But it was the smell. The smell, like the pine, the birch. I mean,
It's great, isn't it?
And you just knew breathing in. It's like, this is the cleanest, freshest air that I think I've ever breathed in. And it was incredible.
When we lived in Denver, our kids were little, and in Frisco, Colorado, just south of Vail, or just east of Vail, I should say, was an A&W root beer place, right?
Okay, yeah.
And it was an hour drive to go. Literally, our only thing was to go to this A&W root beer place. Like, we would take the kids. But it was just because of the drive. Like, once we could get out of Denver towards Golden into Evergreen, it's the prettiest hour you will ever spend in a car just driving along I-70. It was absolutely gorgeous. And we would get to Frisco. We'd have this A&W root beer. We'd just hang out by this lake, drive a little bit into Breckenridge, hang out a little bit, and then we'd head home. And it was totally worth it on an afternoon just to get the kids out and see the mountains and just see them. Because it's not just seeing the mountains. It's beyond breathtaking, the route that you go through. It's just incredible. I always make this joke to people, because there are some people I met who've never been to Colorado, and I'm always like, it is so impressive, the mountain range, the Front Range is so impressive. You really do understand why Colorado Springs, Pueblo, Denver are all, it's like the settlers just crossed the big plains of Nebraska and Kansas and went, shoot. Yeah. I'm not going.
I'm good.
Now, right here, there's water, and I'm right here. I'm not doing that. That's just fine. I'll look at that out of my house window, but I ain't going through that, because it's just daunting. It's just an incredible mountain range that's in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, when we got up to the Continental Divide on I-70, and you're coming down, like you go through the Eisenhower Tunnel and you're coming down, I was a nervous wreck going down. Because, I mean, it's, we had so much weight in the car, you know, because we drove. And, so, you know, it's packed with big suitcases and baseball equipment and things like that, because we were there for my son's tournament. And just going down, it was just a long grade going down. And I could just feel like the brakes going, please just give me a break.
I know. And it's funny. You see those signs that you're not home yet. You're not. Like, you think you're done.
5 more miles of 6% downgrade.
Like, yeah, so God. Just keep it rolling. You're not quite finished as you go down those mountains.
I mean, the positive, I didn't have to hit the gas pedal once.
Oh, yeah, no.
You just cruise.
Just let gravity do its thing. That's great. All right, so we were talking earlier about Quentin Nelson. He's out for the Indianapolis Colts 5 to 12 weeks, which is ironically the same amount of time they're giving Carson Wentz. This is a huge blow to the Colts, because if you're a pessimist, if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan and you're a pessimist, and I don't understand why you would be, you should always be an optimist, unless you're a Steelers fan going into 2021. I'll get to that later. But if you're a pessimist, this is Halloween or the first week in November, the first game in November, that these guys would come back based on this diagnosis. If you're an optimist, then you could have both of these guys in the lineup for week one against Seattle. Now, if you're middle of the road, you go Carson Wentz might be 7 weeks and Quentin Nelson might be 6 weeks or 10 weeks or 11 weeks. You know, obviously, these are two separate injuries, two different recovery times, et cetera, et cetera. But make no bones about it. This is a serious blow to this team, because even though they're playing 17 weeks, right? So there's an additional game and we still haven't really sorted out what is going to be a kind of what will be a decent record, right? The first few games for the Colts on their schedule are so daunting. This is not only getting out of a bad gate. This might be a gate you get out of that you can't recover from throughout the season. And in a division that you can get yours, right? You can play Jacksonville twice and get two wins, and you can play Houston twice and get those two wins. So can Tennessee. And so you've got to get wins against Seattle and Baltimore and the Rams and San Francisco that's on your schedule to the first part of the season. And this is going to make the Colts' road really, really difficult. And if one thing to get Carson Wentz back, but Quentin Nelson is one of the best offensive linemen in the league. He plays that left guard position better than anybody in football. And just overall, in terms of offensive line, he is that good. And you got some teams here that are going to have some tricky defenses that can get to the quarterback. You know, Tennessee isn't one of them. It isn't really projected to be one of them. And they will play Tennessee twice up until the Halloween break. But look out for some of these teams on their schedule for the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season, because if Quentin Nelson isn't there, they're going to struggle to run the football, and they're going to struggle to keep the quarterback upright. And if they go with Jacob Eason instead of going to get Nick Foles, it's going to be even worse. Because those, whether it's him or rookie Sam Ellinger and guys who haven't been able to, haven't thrown passes in the NFL yet, to not have a guy on your offensive line like Quentin Nelson is going to be really, really damaging, really damaging. So we spent a lot of time this week already talking about Carson Wentz, and now it just got worse for the Colts. By the way, did you see the story on the Giants at training camp yesterday?
Loved it.
Loved it. Team brawl. Logan Ryan hit the player, then Evan Engram responded.
Yep.
Whatever it was, Logan Ryan started it, and it ended up with Daniel Jones on the bottom of a pile.
Which is where you want your star quarterback to be.
Of course you do. In fact, you should encourage all your star quarterbacks wearing red to get involved in team scuffles and put them at the bottom of the pile
of
NFL
players.
Just make sure that's where they're at.
Because NFL players, I don't know if you knew this, but they're kind of larger guys.
Yeah.
So that's where you want your best, where your, I guess, your franchise guy.
That's right. The guy you drafted in the first round to take over the franchise from Eli Manning. That's where you want him, right in the bottom of the pile.
I love that.
Fantastic.
I love that, it ended with millions of wind sprints and millions of push-ups.
Yeah, Joe Judge was so angry. He was screaming at them like children and making them run wind sprints and doing push-ups. But this was the funny part of the story, right? Afterwards, his teammates, Daniel Jones's teammates, had a bunch of, great things to say about Jones's willingness to scuffle it up with the players. If I'm on that team, I go, listen, man, it's between me and him. I don't want my quarterback anywhere near this. I'd rather my quarterback sit on the sideline next to the coach going, shaking his head at the children that are fighting on the field, including me. I don't need my quarterback to man up and get in a scuffle. Because it's all fun and games until broken hand out 12 weeks.
When was the last time we had a team brawl? Because a lot of times we have, I don't know if they're doing it this year, but pre-COVID, you had two teams kind of facing off against each other. They're practicing for a week.
Yeah, they used to kind of get together, right?
And that always ended in a brawl. And you're like, you know what? Okay, I get it. I get it. You guys are on the same field, occupying the same space. I get that there's a fight. Because you guys are just, I don't know, there's players on the team trying to make the team who are, trying to hurt other players so they can prove themselves worthy.
It's a weird line because the training camp and these practices, you're right, it has veterans that are just trying to get into some sort of shape, right?
Yep.
Just get back into football shape. And then you've got guys that are trying to impress coaches to make the team. And sometimes those two worlds just do not work out at all because there's a level of aggressiveness and then there's a level of responsible, look, man, I'm not here to get beat up by some rookie. What is wrong with you? I'm a 5-year vet. Like, what are you doing? Punching me or nailing me or knocking? I don't need this. What are you doing? That's what happened in Carolina. JT eBay out of South Carolina hit Keith Kirkwood. Send him to the hospital.
Yep.
They take a stretcher on the practice field, send him to the hospital. And so the Carolina Panthers responded to that aggressiveness by immediately waving him.
Or who was, why is the quarterback's name escaped me from the Jets a couple years back? Over a bet.
Yeah.
Gino Smith. Yeah, Gino Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, him sucker punched, or him getting sucker punched.
He got sucker punched, right.
Over a bet. I saw him get shipped off.
It's just a fine line. And it's also hot and it's sticky and a lot of these places. Oh, look, I used to cover Broncos camp in Colorado where the weather could be pretty nice for training camp. You'd go, it'd be like, hey, it's no humidity and it could be like 80 degrees and nice with the breeze. But you go to Metairie, Louisiana, for crying out loud, it's a billion. It's like, hell protecting a screen door. Like, it's just, it is so hot, it's gross, sometimes humid, uncomfortable, and you're just chippy, and you're just frustrated, and you want to lash out and go, I'm punching somebody. I don't care if it's a teammate or a buddy. I do not care. I do not care. And that's where you're getting these kind of stories. Look, I feel for JT eBay, the Carolina Panther, that, not because he went to South Carolina, I don't care about that, but I've seen young guys do this before. Emmanuel Sanders, who had a pretty good NFL career, I remember he played for the Steelers and in a preseason game, he made a huge, huge, stupid blunder and he punched like a towel dispenser or something. Like he went in the locker room and visiting locker room, and he punched like the bathroom towel dispenser and he hurt his hand and he was out. And you're just like, it's a preseason game. But he was so emotional. And he was just frustrated and angry. And you got to think in this time as a football player where it's going to lead. The Giants, again, we talked about with Daniel Jones. They may love the fact that their quarterback got into it and was showed he was, you know, show he was on the team and willing to, you know, get in the scruffle. But if you pulled yourself back for 2 seconds, you'd be the responsible player and go, yeah, but I don't want my quarterback there.
No.
Like, we don't need to go into the season with a quarterback with a busted hand.
Did you hear about Saquon Barkley getting into that scuffle?
Right. No, right. Not at all. Yeah, he knows better.
Because that's another guy. You're like, dude, you're just coming off ACL. Stay away.
Yeah, if I was Joe Judge, I'd look at Saquon Barkley. Don't you dare. Don't you move. Stay you right there. Don't you. You thinking. I know you're thinking. Go. Stay right there.
Yeah,
I mean,
is it? Do you need your quarterback to prove his moxie by mixing it up with his players?
No, you need him to throw touchdown passes and keep the team flowing offensively. That's what you need. All right, coming next. Speaking of quarterbacks, one you could have on speed dial because he's staying in some shape, but would he actually return? That's next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call, and Ron Culver is back from vacation, because that's pretty awesome. And on Twitter, you can hit us up at Tony D Radio. At Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's, as we continue along. O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much your life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. The professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstart batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. So stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today. Visit O'Reillyauto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so if your football team has an aging quarterback, Pittsburgh, and you're looking for somebody to help you in case something happens to your quarterback who's injury prone, Pittsburgh, there's one quarterback that might be able to save your season, and that is Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers retiring. He's now the head football coach at a Catholic school in Alabama, but he's staying in shape, and he said he could be ready to return in the NFL if needed. Now, why not? If you're a team that is in dire need of a quarterback and you're not really so confident that your backups can help continue along the way. Philip Rivers is a guy that, again, he can come in, very smart, knowledgeable. Now, I don't know if he would leave his football team in the middle of the season. Their regular season ends in late October. It seems pretty committed to that, but he could.
Well, let me ask you this.
And he could come in and help you out.
Let me ask you this, Steeler fan. Would you want Philip Rivers on your team for, I guess, if Roethlisberger is to go down?
I will tell you this, if the Steelers are having a good season and Roethlisberger goes down in like week 11 or 12, yes, I would want them to make a phone call just to see how good of a shape he's in. I at least want to try him out, because there's nothing worse than when you're having a good year and your quarterback goes down and you go, oh, well, that's it. And then, you know, your backups are just stink. Look at the Cowboys last year, right? The biggest criticism I had of the Cowboys last year was, in a terrible division, Ben DiNucci, Andy Dalton, and Garrett Gilbert, right? Those three, they couldn't manage just a couple of more wins to get them to the division.
I think you're downplaying again the great DiNucci.
Yeah, the DiNucci. Yeah, yeah, DiNucci, who we loved. And look, sometimes you find a Tom Brady when Drew Bledsoe's blood, you know, lungs fill with blood. That's awesome.
Right.
Right. The Steelers found Neil O'Donnell that way. Right. Neil O'Donnell came in for Bubby Brister, who got a little bit banged up and in a game against the Giants on a Monday night. And Neil O'Donnell came in and rallied the Steelers, who were trailing by a ton in that game. But they fell a little short. They fell short. But I remember that game going, that guy could be the next, that guy's going to be the guy. And of course, he led them to Super Bowl 30, and the Steelers had a lot of success under Neil O'Donnell. Didn't win a championship, but always put them in a position to go to the playoffs. Sometimes that occurs. So the Steelers, who are dealing with Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph, guys I've seen before and I'm not very confident in, if Roethlisberger went down on a season that's not lost, like they're really competitive, I would want them to phone Philip Rivers. And I think every NFL team should. Now, listen, if you're going nowhere if your starter is your team just is terrible, I don't know if I'd want Rivers to come in. I'd want some development. I'd want to see where you're going with the position in the future. But to salvage the season, yeah, I'd call Philip Rivers.
Yeah, no, I think you. If you're someone who you don't have a good backup, like, you know, that's why I think we're picking on the Steelers a little bit because they, you know, Mason Rudolph has shown who he is. Haskins has definitely shown who he is. I mean, I wish Duck Hodges was still around just because
I do too. I like Duck Hodges a lot.
Just so we can play the duck call champion
right?
of all time.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, if you're looking, if you're okay, Steelers, you're close to the top of the table. You need someone who is – you need that veteran leadership. And you're not going to find that in Mason or in Haskins right now.
And the thing about it is, remember, Philip Rivers did not go out where we all went, man, it's about time Philip Rivers gets out of this league,
yeah.
right?
No.
He went to the playoffs. They went 11-5 last year. He played – he didn't play exceptional. It wasn't an exceptional season, but it was very good enough, right, for
exactly.
what Indianapolis wanted to do.
And that was a competitive division too.
Yeah, and Father Time didn't kick him in the butt where we all saw this just aging athlete just hanging on for dear life. This was a relatively still a young guy, late 30s, but stayed in shape, can still deliver, and just said, no, I'm done. I want to be done, and I did my 1 year playing for somebody else other than the Chargers franchise, and now I'm going to retire and head to Alabama and coach high school football. Great.
And wait for the knock on the door.
Why wouldn't the phone ring? I mean, seriously, why wouldn't? This isn't trying to resurrect a dinosaur.
No.
This is a guy that was good enough, a playoff quarterback last year, absolutely pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And by the way, for all his bravado, for all of his moxie, for all of the years I spent in Denver where he would come in and I would be kind of pulling against him, I love Philip Rivers. I love him. I think that guy was a breath of fresh air in this league. It is a shame he could not get to a Super Bowl. The way I will never forget that playoff game in Indianapolis when they gave him a bunch of hell as Indianapolis about as best they could there because they're nice people in Indianapolis. And he gave it right back to him. Didn't care. Went out, slung it, beat Peyton Manning. He'd come to Denver and he would just taunt the crowd after touchdowns. He was great.
Yep. The best S talker in the business.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because
and you know what?
You know why also? It's clean. The kids could listen to it.
And the thing is that I talked to a lot of Bronco players, and they all would tell me, man, that guy drives me nuts, but he's money, man. All of these guys on the defensive side would say that about Philip Rivers. They're like, man, he goes, that guy runs his mouth, but boy, he delivers. And it was, I still dig him. So I think if I were and I'm not just saying Steelers, I think any of the teams where you're not confident in the backup. Look, some of you guys root for teams where the backup quarterback is somebody you want to see, somebody that's pretty decent, you're okay with it, knows the system, can trust them. That's okay. But if you really are having a good year and you're really worried that some rookie is going to end up taking over and just kind of it's all going to fall apart,
yeah.
Make the phone call to
Philip Rivers. And it only makes sense, too, if your team's in the hunt. I wouldn't
right.
make the move. Like
no.
If the Steelers season looks like it's over by week three and Roethlisberger goes down, it's like, you know what, go get Ben DiNucci and put him in there.
Right.
We're going for draft picks now.
No, I don't. And again, I agree with you. If Ben Roethlisberger is struggling and they're just awful and he gets hurt, yeah, throw in Dwayne Haskins, see what he's got under this system, see what Mason Rudolph can continue to do. I don't care about that.
Yeah, or it's clear that the Browns and Ravens are running away with the division. And you're
right.
Just like, you know what, we don't need it.
Yep, exactly.
I think you're absolutely right. Wait, why not make the call just to see what's going on?
And how awesome is that to be at the school he's coaching in Alabama to be like, hey, my coach is getting right back into the league.
He's back in the NFL.
Back in the league.
I mean, another team that I could see that where that would make sense a little bit closer to would be Atlanta.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I don't know who their backup is.
I have no clue. Is Matt Schaub's not still kicking around, is he?
I don't think he is. Is he? Maybe.
I don't think he is, but nevertheless. We're going to turn our attention to basketball. The Lakers, they're completely redone. LeBron and AD getting a number of additions. There's one guy, though, that they signed. You may not realize this, but is exactly what they need, even if he doesn't come with a big name. That's next as we continue Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, as Ron is back from vacation. We got the preseason start Thursday night, tomorrow night, Steelers and Cowboys Hall of Fame game, and then the Hall of Fame ceremony on Sunday. I will be honest with you. I have friends who love the NFL so much. They watch the Hall of Fame induction ceremony every year. No matter who gets inducted, they watch. They love it. It's just a celebration of football and the people that are going to be in it. To me, so I'm hit or miss. There's some weekends, years I catch it, and some years I don't. I try to catch the highlights of the really, really good speeches.
Yep.
You know, like if I don't watch and they say somebody, whoever, gave an emotional speech and was crying because they were talking about their mother's sacrifice, I try to see it because I think those are a kind of cool personal moments or tributes to coaches. I remember when the Steelers, when Dick LeBeau got in and all of the Steelers went down there, went to Canton to see him. Those are kind of cool moments. I'm looking forward to seeing Peyton Manning and hear him.
That's who I was going to point out, because the last one I really tuned in for, where it was almost an appointment that I made sure to set on the calendar, was LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because, you know, like, hey, this is my guy. He's finally in. And I kind of feel like Peyton Manning is almost like that for everyone in the NFL.
Right. And one of the things, I know in baseball, you know, like if you're a Derek Jeter fan and he gets into the Hall of Fame, people will make pilgrimages to see that. Like they'll want to go.
Yes.
Same thing in the NFL. When I was in Denver, I worked with a guy who he was a great businessman, but he had a relationship with John Elway, and he created travel packages when John was going into the Hall of Fame, where for a certain price, you would get a ticket to the ceremony, a dinner, an autographed football with John, you know, autographed football by John, a picture with John. Like, he arranged this amazing fan package, and he sold out in like half a day. Like, he had a huge amount of response because people are that connected to the athletes they grow up watching or just who've contributed so much to their organization. And Peyton Manning is going to have two fan bases who are going to want to go and be a part of this induction ceremony. And maybe three, if you count the people here in Tennessee where I live, who still love him to death, even though he never won a national championship. What he did for the Volunteers on the national map is something that people will never forget here. So you get that kind of thing. But, you know, Drew Pearson is getting into the Hall of Fame, and Cowboy fans love that. Calvin Johnson is getting in. So again, if I'm around on Sunday, I'll watch it, but I'm definitely wanting to see. And here's the thing about Peyton. Peyton is so smart, right? Because his father played in the league, and he knows the history, and he knows the people. He knows this league really, really well. He's almost like a historian. When he starts talking about the people that influenced him, think of the names he's going to be able to drop from who he saw as a youth, in his youth, following his dad, you know, going to those games with the Saints, and the people that talked to him when he was 5 and 6 and 7, and, you know, and the people his dad got him connected to everybody at Tennessee, to everybody in Indianapolis, everybody in Denver, to Tom Brady, right, who had this incredible competitive nature with. Think about the people, the names he's going to talk about. At least I hope he does. I didn't write a speech, so I don't know. But, you know, you kind of envision a very historical look into the life of Peyton Manning and how the NFL penetrated that. Like, Peyton Manning does those Peyton places. When he goes to visit an older player, it's almost like he doesn't need Wikipedia. He knows the history of these guys. Like, he just knows. That's his thing. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how many people on the list he's going to name. So we'll see that coming up this weekend. The Lakers, by the way, I didn't know if you noticed while you were gone, they completely changed their team outside of LeBron.
Yeah, I saw that Karl Malone and Gary Payton were signed,
correct? Yeah, they rejoined back. Yeah, they're one more chance at getting that title. That was so elusive. The Lakers just stripped it all down. They said, LeBron and AD, look around, because some of these guys you won't be seeing ever again. So that's what we're doing.
I mean, yeah, okay, on the one hand, you know, you look at it on a piece of paper and you're like, wow, what a great team.
Yeah.
And then you really start to look at it and go, God, these guys, this would have been a great team 7, 8, 10 years ago.
I kind of see that, yeah. So Dwight Howard is back. Is this the third time Dwight Howard has been with the Lakers?
I think
so. Is this
so.
A time turn number 3?
I think so. Well, third time's a charm.
I might be, yeah. So you've got, obviously, the Russell Westbrook trade was a big deal last week.
Yes.
You've got Trevor Ariza coming back. You've got Carmelo Anthony now is on this team. And to Anthony's credit, he did such a good job in Portland. He was a great teammate, knew his role really well. I don't think that changes. I think Carmelo Anthony at 37, 38 years old knows exactly what he's on this team to do.
Yeah.
Whatever they need him to do. Kent Bazemore is on this. I mean, this team is totally different. I mean, totally but different. But
the thing that scares me, I mean, it needs to kind of get, you know, skew a little younger.
A little bit. And this is brings me to my point. There was a signing that was sort of underreported, but actually might be extremely important. And that is the signing of Malik Monk. He's going to be the youngest guy on this roster. He's not going to be paid a lot, but here's the thing he does. Here's the thing that Malik Monk actually does well. He shoots from the outside really good, really, really well. And that's the thing Russell Westbrook doesn't do well. Russell Westbrook is not a very good three-point shooter. He is not, it's not his game. His game is penetration, getting to the basket. That's what Russell Westbrook does. He does not shoot the ball well from the outside. But how many times did we hear from Lee Ellis, Dan Favalli, anybody that we talked on in the season? That's the missing component for the Lakers. They don't hit the shots from the outside. Now, because remember, before they landed Russell Westbrook, there was a talk about possibly making a deal with Sacramento for Buddy Hield, who does that very well, too. But that didn't go down. The Westbrook deal did. When it went down, there was a natural feeling of, I'm a little cautious on this. Naturally, you should feel like this is going to work, but we don't know. This is Russell Westbrook's fourth team in 4 years. This might be one of those square pegs in a round hole type of situations, but it doesn't solve what the Lakers really needed to do in building their roster, which is find somebody that is a threat to shoot from the outside. So you spread the floor a little bit on the defensive end. Monk might be that person that can do that. Again, young, not expensive, and does the thing that they want. This might be. And I say might because there's so many big names here that we might be pointing to others. But I think that Malik Monk could be one that when you do the inside the numbers kind of thing at the end of the season, you might say, now that was a really good addition. That really helped the Lakers in this one particular thing that they didn't do very well. Because this roster is now filled with guys who could do everything else well. Everything else well. LeBron is an all-around player. Anthony Davis is an all-around level player. Carmelo Anthony is good one of the best scorers in the NBA. Russell Westbrook's a triple-double machine. I don't know what you get out of Dwight Howard. I don't know what you get out of Kent Bazemore, but those are fine. Trevor Ariza, fine. Wayne Ellington, I think, was on that list, too. But Malik Monk can shoot from the outside, and he can knock down threes, and that is something to pay
attention
to.
I hope you're right.
I
hope you're right, man, because I can't help but just look at this team and go, man, this thing is, I don't know, it almost feels like the rest of the league is playing and then they're the MLS.
Yeah, right?
Hey, if you want to try for a ring, come to this retirement team.
Sure, why not? Come
on
in.
Assemble the greatest stars to play the game.
Yeah, I mean, again, this team is pretty old. I mean, you look at, I mean, how long has Dwight Howard been in this league?
You can look at age, but you can also look at, you know, basketball seasons.
Sure.
Like LeBron, sure. LeBron is like a 50-year-old man out there.
Yeah. And LeBron and Carmelo came into the league the same time.
Yes.
You know?
Couple picks away from each other.
That's right. Right. Oh, God. Who was the guy for the Pistons that was the middle guy?
I don't know.
I would have to remember his name. He became a kind of a punchline because he became the Pistons.
He was the Sam Bowie.
That's right. He was in the middle, and Carmelo Anthony went to Denver. And I remember when Carmelo Anthony got drafted by Denver. When I got to Denver to cover the Nuggets were an awful team. Juwan Howard was on it. I've told this story before. My wife and I, we had Christopher, was my oldest son. It was just a little baby at the time, this little kid. And we wanted to take him to a basketball game. And Juwan Howard was having a coat drive. He did a coat drive every year. And if you brought a coat to the Pepsi Center, you could get a ticket to the game. Well, we had some extra coats. So we said, let's go down there. So we went down there, dropped off our coats, got tickets to the game. And my son got to see Nuggets basketball. And he had a cute little Nuggets shirt. Oh, yay. They were terrible. I mean, they were awful. And then Carmelo Anthony came, and they made the playoffs the first year he was on the team. Now, that to people in Denver where the Nuggets hadn't made the playoffs in a lifetime was extraordinary. I mean, extraordinary. And they continued to make the playoffs every time he was there. But he always needed somebody. Kenyon Martin, Allen Iverson. He always needed that one extra guy that just never really fit well with him. But as he's gotten older and he's really seen what his role is, I think he's going to be good for the Lakers. I do. I don't think he's the same. Obviously he's not the same Carmelo Anthony. He's 38. I mean, he's not asking for a starting role and take all the shots. But no, he knows who he is.
I think he's coming in thinking himself as like a Vince Carter.
Of course. And that's exactly what he did in Portland. And Damian Lillard said that.
You know, someone who still has a tremendous amount of skill, who can still play the game, but realizes and recognizes, hey, I'm not the guy who's going to lead your team. Maybe some night I will. Maybe
that's what you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like where some night he goes out there and he's got the hot hand and he scores 28. And you go, hey, that's a good night for Carmelo Anthony.
By the way, the player you were trying to think of was Darko Milicic.
Darko Milicic, yeah. God, wow. Whatever happened to that guy?
Not much.
That's why the Pistons going first and getting Cade Cunningham. I think he was brought up during the draft last week where they're like, yeah, Pistons haven't really drafted that high since Darko Milicic went second overall in a draft with Carmelo Anthony and the number one pick was LeBron James.
He lasted a while in the league.
I think he did.
I mean, and he has an NBA title with the Pistons.
Yeah, that's right. He does. That's very true. You can't take that away from him. No. He has the 2003
He's got
NBA
a ring.
Championship. Was that 04? I think it was 2004, right? Or 03?
I get my 04.
Years mixed up. 04. Because that was the year the Lakers were supposed to just win it all with Karl Malone and Gary Payton and Shaq and Kobe, and they didn't.
And he stole the ring out of their fingers.
The ring.
That's why Karl Malone is going to be signed next week.
That's right, because you still want to shake and get that one ring. Make sure you get it. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Lee Ellis is going to join us in hour two, and we'll get the full scope of all of the NBA free agency. Because, Steph Curry is staying put, Trae Young staying put, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander staying put. This is guys that are, but then there are a lot of guys that are on the move. So we'll get Lee Ellis's assessment coming up in hour two. All right, we'll continue with Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage to fit your life? Rocket can. All right, 12 past the hour in hour two, we'll have Lee Ellis, and then we'll have Good, Bad, the Dumb at 40. So, and also the Hall of Fame game coming up, we were talking about that earlier, Dallas and Pittsburgh. Two teams going into 2021, both, have expectations, obviously. Everybody starts 0-0, right? But I think that two of these teams are going in different directions. We'll talk about that coming up in hour two as well. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Michael, we were talking about driving around in Colorado, beautiful Colorado, where Ron went on vacation. I went from Grand Junction to Denver. The only problem, I did it in December and was caught in a blizzard with no tire change. I've never been more terrified in my life. I made it a 4.5-hour drive into 9 hours. When I go to Denver, my hands were shaking. I have done that too. I absolutely have done that too. Let me tell you, there was my wife and I took our kids to, I want to say it was Vail, and we went tubing. We spent the weekend, we went tubing, hung out in the winter, and on the way back, it started to snow, and I obviously driving, and I grew up in New Hampshire. Even I was terrified, and I grew up where the snow was no joke in the Northeast. And I remember going, this is really, really scary.
I already told you coming down that grade, this is summertime. I was nervous. We already made the decision that if we were ever to go there in the wintertime, we're flying in there. Because there's a nice airport right next to it, which I was surprised. Not too outside of Vail. And you can literally, they'll pick you up and there's buses all over the place. I'm like, that's perfect. I don't want to even attempt to drive around there.
It was really nerve-wracking. It was one of those traffic jams, like guys were just getting out of the car and just relieving themselves on the side of the road. Because they just, it was hours, hours and hours. And it was scary. The one thing about it is, you hear these stories about, 25 car pileup. It's because one person does one thing wrong and people can't stop.
No.
Right? And that's what I was worried about. I was like, as we were going, I'm like, I hope nobody does something stupid up here because I don't know if I could slam on my brakes on this stuff.
No,
even
you,
if,
you
even
can't.
If I was going 20 miles an hour, I didn't feel like I could stop quick enough.
You can't, and that's all you're hoping for is like, you right. know, I'm in control of myself, but I'm not in control of that idiot that's flying down the mountain behind me.
I know, it's crazy.
Who just, you know, and we all have been there where these guys know the road like the back of their hand. And they're just flying down there. I mean, it drove me insane. I was like, I'm just feeling like a grandmother just sitting there like, God, just get me down this hill.
Yeah, it's funny. There's kind of a mountain in near Chattanooga that's, you know, but it's, I can cook through that with my expertise on Denver driving. It was, that's fun. Because, but yeah, people, you see people kind of really going slow, like I'm a little careful. And then you see people just flying down it, making the turns like they're in NASCAR or something, just whipping down those mountains.
Yep.
Crazy.
Get new brakes tomorrow anyways. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I worked with a guy in Denver who lived up in those mountains and drove it every single morning in Denver. And I remember telling him sometimes, I'm like, in the wintertime, I'm like, how do you do it, man? How do you do it at 4 a.m.?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Can't.
Like every morning, every day, you don't know what's going on with that road. It's crazy. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Busy hour number two coming up. We're going to hit you off with Lee Ellis going over all of the NBA free agency situation. Good, the bad, and the dumb returns after a hiatus from Ron's vacation. Oh, you don't want to miss it. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us.